Thank you so much for being here this morning. And we're going to go to Luke chapter 9 this morning. Luke chapter number 9. And I want to continue something here that I had started a couple weeks ago. And before I actually get into this verse, I want you to take this. And if you did not get one, maybe grab one, if there's one close to you. But I want everybody maybe to look off with someone if you didn't get one. Hopefully you received a message handout. And at the top, there's Galatians 5, 22 and 23. I want you to look at that with me. This is God's plan for the believer. This is God's plan for your life. This is God's plan for you. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. That describes the character and the attitude that Christ is desiring to produce in and through us as believers. Now, those wonderful, priceless commodities, and that's exactly what they are. Those are some precious, priceless commodities. I want you to imagine for a moment a heart just filled and overflowing with love and joy and peace and long patience, you know, a heart overflowing with gentleness and goodness. Imagine a home filled with those things. Imagine a home where everybody in the house is treating each other loving. Everyone's joyful. There's a peace that permeates the home. There's patience with one another. There's a gentleness and a goodness, and there's temperance. There's not overindulgence, but there's temperance that's there. People are growing in their faith, and everyone in the home is filled with those things. They're priceless commodities. Imagine a church where all the people are filled with these things. Imagine a church where everyone in the church is loving. Amen. There's no mean people at all. Everybody's nice. Everybody's gentle and good. Everybody's joyful. They come in and they're joyful. They're filled with the Spirit and they got joy. And there's a peace that anchors their heart. There's no friction and there's no contention. There's peace. Oh, that's a wonderful word, peace. You know, a church filled with patience. Everybody's so patient with each other, full of grace. And a church that's filled with temperance. You know, everyone is temperate. That is, they're able to control fleshly appetites. A church where everyone's growing in their faith and there's meekness. Oh, man, those are priceless commodities. There's no doubt about it. I mean, any heart would want to be filled with those things. Any home would want to be filled with those things. Any church would want to be filled with those things. But in your handout, I want you to get a statement. It says they're priceless commodities, but they will not come to us while self is enthroned on our hearts. They will not come to us while self is enthroned on our hearts. They come to us when we surrender what they just sung, when we surrender our will to His and we allow Christ's Spirit to flow through us freely. That's called being, the Bible has a phrase for that. It's called being filled with the Spirit. These things come to us when we seek Christ above all else. When we seek to please Him more than we seek to please anything or anybody, including ourselves. By the way, there's a phrase for that. When you seek to please Him above anything or anybody else, that's called making Jesus Lord of your life. That's called making Jesus Lord of your life, and it requires complete surrender to Him. Now, everyone in the room this morning, everybody in here, is going to fall in one of three categories that the Bible describes mankind. Let's bring it up. Number one is, he describes a person that's called the natural man. This is a person where, go ahead and click it, this is a person where self is on the throne of their heart. It's all about them. And the reason why is, go ahead and click it again, notice that Christ is on the outside of the heart. The natural man, that's a speaking of a person that's still in their natural lost state. Natural meaning fleshly. They're just in their flesh. They don't even have Christ in their heart. And self, therefore, is on the throne of their heart. That's all they know because Christ isn't in them. And then there's a second kind of person, and you have to decide which category you fit in. And the second person is called the carnal man. And the carnal man, this is a person where, go ahead and click it, this is a person where Christ is in the heart. They've believed on Christ as Savior. but they've never made him Lord of their life. They've never completely surrendered their will to Jesus Christ. They still want to go their way. They still want things their way. They're not quick to, okay, that's what the Bible says, I'm going to do that. Christ is not on the throne of their heart. He's in their heart, but they're carnal, they're fleshly. Fleshly means they live independent so many times of God and what God wants. And therefore, self is still on the throne of their heart. That's why they're called a carnal Christian. Self, it's still, not that they don't have moments, you know, where they do good, and not that they don't have moments where maybe they have a tender heart, but by and large, pretty much day in and day out, the carnal Christian is living according to the flesh, and self rules the heart. But then there's a third kind of man the Bible describes, and that's this. That's the spiritual man. And the spiritual man is a person where, go ahead and click it, where Christ is not just in the heart, Christ is on the throne of their heart. He's Lord of their life. He's in authority. He is in control. And self has been completely submitted to Christ. And the issue is no longer me and my what pleases me. It's now what pleases Christ. It's what honors him. And so self has now been submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. His will is above all else. It's like they just sung, I surrender all to him. That's the spiritual man. That's the person that's going to experience the fruit of the Spirit. And go ahead and click it again. And notice, go ahead and click it one more time, please. There we go. We've got a review screen there, and there's all three. You have to decide where you're at. Either you're a natural man, that is, you've never been saved yet. You don't know the Lord. Or you're a carnal Christian. You just kind of live to please yourself day in and day out. And, hey, whatever feels good, that's what I'm going to do. And it's about me, you know. The world kind of revolves around me. And then there's the spiritual man. And that's the one where Christ is ruling on the throne of your heart. Now, here's the deal. You don't get the fruit of the Spirit. You don't get all that good stuff, love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and kindness. You don't get that as long as you're in categories 1 and 2. Those things only come as you are filled with the Spirit and Christ is on the throne of your heart and you have submitted self to Christ. That's when the fruit of, in fact, I'll go a step further. Not only do you not get the fruit of the Spirit, when you're in those first two categories, you get the opposite. You get the works of the flesh. So that is, instead of being loving, you can find yourself being downright hateful. You know, instead of being gentle, you can just be downright harsh. Instead of being patient, you are very impatient. You know, you are very, very impatient with people. Instead of being joyful, you find yourself down and depressed a lot. Instead of having peace, that's ruling in your heart and in your life's full of friction and contention and just a lack of peace. Instead of being temperate, you find yourself indulging in fleshly things that you should not really be indulging in at all. And so if you're not in that third category, you find yourself not only not having the fruit of the Spirit, all the good stuff, you find yourself manifesting the opposite, the works of the flesh. Self always stands in defiance of surrender. Self doesn't want to surrender. Self says it's all about me. It's about my happiness. Surrender says it's all about Christ and his pleasure. Self always asks the question, am I pleased with this action? Am I pleased with this attitude? Am I pleased with this decision? Surrender always asks the question, is Christ pleased with this action? Is Christ pleased with this attitude? Is Christ pleased with this decision? Is Christ being honored in this? It's kind of like this. How many of you guys have some flowers at your house outside? Anybody have any flowers outside? Okay, a few of you. Have you ever had this happen? Have you ever gone with your hose to go and to, you know, you turn it on, you take your hose, you drag it all the way over to the flower bed, and nothing comes out? You know you turned it on, but nothing comes out. How many of you have ever had that happen? Raise your hand if you're like me. Doesn't that make you real happy? Then you turn around and you go back and you're like, all right, what's going on? And what is always the problem? There's a what? There's a kink in the hose. And you'll notice that this hose right here, boy, I don't want to knock those guitars over, do I? You'll notice there's a kink in the hose. And I've had this happen a million times. And I got to go and I got to unkink it if I'm going to get water. Now, the water's in there. It's in the hose, but it can't get all the way through. and be manifested out to the flowers. And of course, we know that in the Florida heat, we go days without rain. And if you don't get water on those flowers and the bushes or shrubs or whatever it is, the plants, they're going to die. They're going to shrivel up and they're going to eventually die. You got to get that life-giving water to them. But when there's a kink in the hose, it won't get through. And what's the application? The application is, if you're saved today and you know the Lord, the water of life is in you. Christ is in your heart. But what happens is we begin to be the carnal Christian, and we begin to let self rule and reign on our heart, and it kinks up the line, and the Holy Spirit, the water of the Holy Spirit, cannot fill us and overflow through us towards others and in our own life. The Holy Spirit can't get through. Why? We've kinked up the line with self. Does that make sense? So look in your handout, and it says that when self is, look in your handout. It says when self is enthroned on our hearts, it restricts the flow of God's Holy Spirit in and through us. We begin to shrivel up like those plants or flowers. We begin to shrivel up as human beings spiritually. That's why you say, well, you know, that's a good illustration. And it is, because it fits Scripture. Because the Bible teaches that you can quench and grieve the Holy Spirit. You can kink up the line, so to speak, by quenching and grieving the Holy Spirit. Look in your handout. Look at Ephesians 4. What does the Bible say there? Ephesians 4:30. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Do you know what happens? When you grieve the Holy Spirit, you're kinking up the line. He cannot flow through you freely. So you know what you get? You know what the next verse says after that? And it's not in your handout. I'm just kind of quoting it now. In Ephesians 4, right after he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, he talks about bitterness, wrath, anger, unforgiveness. Those are the kind of things you get when that line gets kinked up with self. Look at the next verse in your handout. It says, 1 Thessalonians, it says, quench not the Spirit. You can quench. You can let self get on the throne of your heart. It gets to be all about you. And what happens is you kink up the line, and the Holy Spirit of God cannot work through you, flow through you, and manifest that wonderful fruit that we read about earlier of love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness. That's what God wants to make you. That's the person God wants you to become. But as long as the line's kinked up with self, the Holy Spirit can't work. And here's the deal. You know, unsurrendered Christians. We brought up that review chart earlier. Can you bring that review chart up again real quick? Y'all see that? You know who the most miserable person is on that chart? It's not the lost person. Because the lost person, they're heading 100 miles per hour to eternal damnation, but most of the time don't have a clue. They don't have any clue, so they're just living for whatever pleases them. They're doing whatever the crowd says. Man, when you're floating downstream, there's no resistance. And when you're floating along with the world and you're heading to a dead-end street but don't even know it. So they don't know enough to be miserable. That's all they know. The most miserable person on that chart is the middle one. And that's an unsurrendered Christian is the most miserable person on planet Earth, because they have God's Spirit within. They've got the water of life inside of them, and they've got the Holy Spirit trying to teach them the way of Christ, trying to bear that fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit's in them, desperately wanting to flow out of them, but they're opposing it. They're resisting it. And it makes them miserable. If you're saved today, Christ's divine resurrection life is in you. How can you open up the hose? How can you allow Christ's Spirit to flow through you? It takes a heart of surrender. It's what the trio sung. All to Jesus I surrender. It takes surrender. It takes enough of this. I'm giving my life to Christ. Well, what does that require to surrender? This is where I want you to go to Luke 9 and verse 23. All right, let's look at it. Luke 9:23. And he said to them all, Jesus speaking, if any man will come after me, and here we go, let him, and what's the next two words, church? Deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. In your handout, it says the first key to a surrendered life is a denying of the flesh. A denying of the flesh. Deny means there to deny utterly, to disown. It's very strong, very adamant. To be a disciple of Christ means that I completely deny my fleshly nature, the things that are contrary to the way of Jesus Christ. And again, do you know what the Bible means when it talks about the flesh? It's not talking about your skin. When the Bible talks about the flesh, it's not talking about your skin, what I see. The flesh speaks of that part of us that desires to live independent of God. And that's exactly how all of us lived before we were saved. We lived independent of God. We did whatever we jolly well pleased, you know. And unless there was some kind of consequence that we didn't like that kept us from doing it, we did whatever we felt like doing. And that is the flesh. It wants to live independent of God. It seeks self-gratification rather than seeking to please Jesus Christ. Denying yourself is not asceticism. Some religions teach, you know, torturing yourself and somehow that can earn merit with God. No. Denying yourself is not torturing yourself and it's not asceticism. But denying yourself is simply seeking Christ and His will above everything else. And anything that would hinder me in seeking after Christ, anything that's going to pull me away from Jesus, in your handout it says, we gladly refuse. That's what it means to deny yourself. It means that you deny yourself of anything that would hinder you and pull you away from Christ. Anything that's keeping you from a heart of total surrender to Jesus Christ. Hey, look up here again. Remember this? Anything that's kinking up the hose right here. Anything that's kinking up the hose, anything that's quenching the spirit, anything that's drawing me away from Jesus Christ, I gladly refuse, I gladly refrain from it, I gladly turn loose of it. Paul taught the principle of denial. Look at Titus 2 in your handout. Titus 2, 11 and 12. I've got it for you there in your handout. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Well, what does it teach us? Salvation teaches us that denying, there's that word again, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You know what the flesh says, self? Self says, I deserve this. Self says everybody else does it. Oh, self can come up with some really good arguments. Self says it makes me happy. And I've actually had people tell me this to excuse things. They'll say, well, you know, Pastor Dan, I know what the Bible says, but this makes me happy, and I know God wants me to be happy. That's some of the most childish reasoning I think I've ever heard. So anything that makes me happy, it's okay because God wants me to be happy. That's what the flesh says. The flesh says this. You ever hear this one? Well, there's nothing in the Bible that directly forbids it. There's no chapter and verse that says thou shalt not, you know, whatever it is we're wanting to do. The spirit, on the other hand, says, does this please Christ? Does this help me run the race for Christ? Does this draw me closer to Jesus? And when self is on the throne of our heart, we're always looking for ways to excuse ourselves. When self is on the throne, and we've all been there, we're always looking for ways to skirt around things in our life that we know ought to leave our life. We're looking for ways to skirt around it and excuse it. Why? The flesh doesn't want to deny itself. The flesh wants what it wants now. And Paul used the analogy of this in the Bible. He said athletes, I think Paul loved sports. He would use sports as an illustration. And Paul said athletes deny themselves. They practice this principle. They do it to win worldly competitions. If you want to go to the Olympics and you want to win a gold medal, there's some things you have to deny yourself. You have to deny yourself some pleasures that you could engage in. You have to deny yourself some foods that you could indulge in. You have to deny yourself certain ways that you'd like to spend your time, but you got to be training. If you want to win that, you know, they're doing the NBA right now, right? Championship. If you want to win that trophy, those guys deny themselves. They deny themselves things that they could take. Why? Because they want to be fit so that they can win that trophy. And Paul said it's for medals and trophies that are going to fade away. They're not going to last. They're going to one day be, you know, be lost, or you know, you they're not going to be around. You know, it's like people aren't going to remember it. It's like who won the World Series 2 years ago? Who won the Super Bowl 5 years ago? Ha ha. Yeah, right, and it was a big deal at the time, right? Yeah, and that's what he's saying. He's saying athletes, they deny themselves just to win something that's just going to pass away. It's going to fade away. He said, but as Christians, we have a loftier and a higher purpose. It's to please our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's to further his work on this earth. It's to change the eternal destiny of souls. And Paul constantly practiced this principle of denial. The Apostle Paul, that's why he was so amazing in what he did for God. It's because he practiced the principle of denying the flesh. He wasn't going to let the flesh and self rule the day. Look in your handout at 1 Corinthians 9:27. He said, but I keep under my body. That literally means I subdue the passions of my body. I bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Do you know Paul would gladly deny himself of his own preferences and rights? Not just sinful things. He would deny himself of rights that he had. And he said, I do it for the gospel's sake. I do it to impact lives. I'll gladly turn loose of it if it'll impact a life. Look at your handout, Hebrews 12:1. It says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every, and what's that next word? Okay, remember, he's talking about running the race. He said, let us lay aside every weight, and what's the second thing to lay aside? The sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know what that tells me right there, church? Is that there are things in my life that are not sinful, but they're a weight. They weight me down so that I can't run the race for Christ as effectively as I should. They're not even sinful, but they're a distraction. They distract me away from following after Jesus Christ with my whole heart. And Christ's call is to lay it aside. And Christ said, follow me. You can run a race with weights on if you want to. It's not that it's illegal. It's like, why would you want to do that? Why would you want to run a race with weights on? I mean, can you imagine if I said, Pastor Rich, I'm going to race you around the building, the church building. And some of you would pay to see that, wouldn't you, right? See us running around in our suits around the building, right? And imagine I foot raced him around the building, and right before the race, I took this pulpit and put it up on my shoulders to race him. You say, that would be stupid. You'd never win that way. Right. Exactly. I could do it. It's not that it's illegal, but why would I want to do it? By the way, that's the only way Pastor Rich could beat me in a foot race, is if I had that pulpit on my shoulder. I said that to his face in the early service, so I'm not saying it behind his back. He laughed. But yeah, I mean, it's like, why would I want to do that? There are things in your life that are a weight, and they distract you away from Jesus Christ. And the heart of a Christian ought to be, I don't want to kink up the hose. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit, quench him. I want him to flow through me. And by the way, for everyone, it may be something different. What I struggle with, you may not struggle with at all. It's not an issue for you. And what you struggle with, I'm like, I don't get that because I don't struggle with that. And so for everyone, our weight may be something different, but it still speaks of self. It's about me. And there needs to be a willingness to lay it aside. Quick little video. Can we play that real quick? And this illustrates it. Watch this. Thank you. You see, for every person, it may be something different. For example, you may be called upon by Christ's Spirit to deny yourself a more lucrative job because you know it's going to hinder you and your family in following after Christ. You may deny yourself a hobby or a recreational activity because you know it's going to take you away from your church family. You know it's going to take you away from the corporate worship of God on weekends. You know God's going to have to take a back seat to that hobby or recreational activity. So you deny yourself. It could be that you deny yourself a habit because you know it's going to hinder you in your testimony for Jesus Christ. It could be that you deny yourself something that you want to buy so that you can give to God or give to somebody in need. It could be that you deny yourself the opportunity to seek fame and fortune or maybe just a comfortable life so that you might be a missionary for Jesus Christ. It could be that you deny yourself a certain boyfriend or girlfriend because it's hindering you in following after Christ. It's not helping you. It's a distraction. And you, and here's the deal. To come to the place, and I'm almost done, so just stay with me a couple minutes here. To come to the place where you truly desire to surrender all to Christ and deny the flesh, I'm telling you right now, it takes three things. It takes a total dissatisfaction with where you are right now. In other words, you got to get sick of your flesh. You got to want to change. You have to be like, I'm sick of this. I've been doing it my way, and I'm sick of where it's leading me. I'm sick of the person that it's made me. I'm sick of what it's made of me, and I'm done. I want to change. And sometimes life events and fleshly consequences can kind of push you towards that. Sometimes it takes that to get us to want to change. In other words, our flesh leads us to a mountain we can't climb, or it leads us into a ditch that we can't get out of. And all of a sudden, we become dissatisfied with where we are and the self-life that we've been leading. Well, that's the first step. You got to get dissatisfied with where you are. The second thing is it takes a true, deep yearning for Christ. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, and you have to get to the point where you're like, I yearn for a closer relationship with Christ. I want that walk. I want that fruit he talked about. And then number three, it takes a decision to do whatever it takes to experience his life-giving flow. I don't care if you got to remove 20 kinks out of the hose, you're going to do it. You're going to do whatever it takes to get the kinks out of the hose, to get self off the throne and to allow his Spirit to flow through you freely. To me, a great example of this, flip over to Luke 19. I just want to real quickly read you this, Luke 19. And this is a great example to me of what I'm talking about. This guy had a nice little comfortable, cushiony life, but look what he does. Verse 2, Luke 19, verse 2. It says, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, tax collectors. And he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, the crowd, because he was of little stature. And the Bible says, and he ran before, he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him up in the tree. He said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste. Man, he hurried. He came down and he received Jesus joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood. I love this. And he said unto the Lord, and what he's doing right now is he's getting self off the throne of his heart. Look at this. He says, behold, Lord, the half of my goods, half of everything I've got, I'll give it to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, which all tax collectors did at that time, he said, I restore him fourfold. I'm going to go make it right and give him back four times what I took from him. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And you know, I look back at my life And I got saved as a teenager. My brother led me to Christ. And as a teenager, I can look back at key decisions. Teenagers, never underestimate the power of your decisions right now that you're making. Because I can look back at key times in my life as a teenager where God's Spirit called on me to surrender something to Him. And I had to make a decision, self or surrender. There's only two choices on the shelf, self or surrender. You know, for me, and again, this isn't for everybody. Remember, everyone's weights are different. For me, one was baseball. My mom knows that. I loved baseball. And I loved it so much that that video, I had to lay it down. Now I'm not saying everyone has this issue. Me personally, I could not follow after Christ and follow after baseball. I couldn't do it. And so I laid it down. Key decision. There were relationships in my life that were very unhealthy, and I knew it. And I was at a crossroads, and I had to make a decision. And I really look back and I think, had I made different decisions, I do not believe I would have ever surrendered to the ministry. I do not believe I would have gone to Bible college. And I know I wouldn't have. And I know I wouldn't have met Denise, because that's where I met her, which means Clint wouldn't be here. Clayton wouldn't be here. Caleb wouldn't be here.
And Landon wouldn't be here, our grandson. It'd just be you and me, Mama. Just be me and you.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, here's the deal. And I tell you, another key moment for me is after I had been saved and was on staff here at this church, I was singing in a quartet. We were traveling all over the place. But it got to the point where it was such a weight. And it was hurting my family. And it was hurting my service for Christ. And I loved it. I loved singing gospel music. And there was a point, just like that video, where I had to lay it down. And I had to say, no, I got to follow after Christ. The Holy Spirit called me to a decision. And I was at a crossroads and I had to make a decision. And some of you in here this morning may be at that point where you're at a crossroads and you have to make a decision. The future of your life depends on those crossroads moments and what you do. Really, I'm serious. To a large extent, not that you can't at any point repent and get right, but to a large extent, the future quality of our life is going to depend on what we do in those crossroads moments. That's just a fact. And so don't ever underestimate the importance of those times when God says, you need to surrender. You need to lay that down because it's not helping you. It's hindering you in your walk with me. Lay it down. Follow after me. Jesus said, deny yourself and come and follow after me. At key times in your life, you will be faced with a decision. Will I follow after self or after Christ? And in your handout, it says the way, look at that last statement in your handout. The way to live a life without regrets is to deny self and follow after Christ. That's the key. Deny self and follow after Christ. When God called Peter and he said, follow me. You know what Peter did? He had a lucrative fishing business. He left it all behind and followed Jesus Christ. There are times in our life, and again, all of us are different, when that call comes and Christ's Spirit calls upon us to surrender, whatever it may be. It may be a sin. It may just be a weight. It's not even sinful. But it's hindering you. What are you going to do at those times?